Let's prepare our hearts to receive today's meditation and exhortation. Let's look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this time of meditation upon Thy Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the indwelling of Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will help us, give us wisdom to understand Thy Word. And grant us also, Lord, the strength to obey Thy Word. For we are but creatures of flesh. And often, Lord, we fall into temptation. And we fall into the sin of unrighteous anger. Bless us, Lord, and help us to learn this lesson to apply in our lives, that our relationships, our families, and our church may be edified and strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today's topic is a topic that was brought forth by the committee asking me to deal with anger management the scriptural way. Anger management the scriptural way. Now, what happens when people cannot withhold their anger? A lot of things can happen, isn't it? Right? You know about families, family conflict, right? Conflict between husband and wife. What is it usually because of? Anger. Somebody cannot contain their anger. What happens in our places of work? Very often, if you see in our places of work, or perhaps if you're younger, in places, in schools, for instance, right? People will come into a conflict or a clash because of inability to hold their temper and to hold their anger. And it's no good. We know it's no good. It's no good for relationships. It's no good for husband and wife relationship. It's no good within the family. If you have in a family parents who cannot contain their temper, or in a family children who cannot withhold themselves or restrain their temper, what happens? Well, you have an anger management problem that often may lead to sin. So today we want to consider this topic, and we want to look at some biblical principles, right? And I want to begin with the first two, right? First of all, let us look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we will examine in the examples given, and we find that actually there are instances when the Lord Jesus himself was angered. But I want to make that very important distinction, right? There is such a thing as righteous anger, because Jesus, as we know, is the righteous and sinless Son of God. And for those of us who believe in him, well, we know that he is the way to eternal life and forgiveness of sin. But then look at number two. There is also a potential for anger to lead to sin. Now, I make this distinction, so I call that fleshly anger. Anger that comes out of our flesh, right? It's from ourselves. It cannot be justified or be disguised and say, oh, I'm showing godly anger. No, no way. Because we know that that kind of anger can lead to sin. Right, because the Bible does say, right, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So there is that distinction. So in the first maybe 15 minutes of this exhortation, I want to deal with this theological issue first. We want to know how the Bible presents to us this topic of anger so that we know the difference between that which is righteous, as shown by the Lord Jesus Christ, and also that which is fleshly, which very often comes from our own selves. Right, and once you know that distinction, we can know and understand that as a Christian, we have a new nature, right? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. By believing in the Lord Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit which dwells in us. And that helps us to restrain that fleshly anger. The Bible teaches that. So I'll go through the verses so you know where and how these verses are applied. And then finally, we'll look at some practical anger management principles, right? We can apply. And they are from the Bible, right? So I put it in a way that we can remember 4 R's, right? Restrain your anger. The Bible does have a verse to teach us how to restrain our anger. Resolve. If you have an anger issue, learn to resolve it. If someone has an anger issue with you, learn to resolve that. That's important also. The next R, respond. How to respond when you are angry. Of course, you may say the best response is silence. Maybe it is. Right, but there's always a way to respond. If someone else is angry, right, or both of you are angry, very important to have the wisdom to understand. Right, and then finally, reflect. Reflect on what is in your heart and what is in your mind. Very important. Because if we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are not able to reflect on our hearts and minds and intent, guided by the Holy Spirit, then we will fall back to, again, the flesh. And you know the flesh, our old man, the old self, that will only lead to sin, right? So 4 R's for you to remember, right? Restrain, resolve, respond, reflect. Now, in case you're sitting there and you're thinking, hey, this is the same kind of thing that you hear, you know, when you go for counseling outside, you know, the psychologists will also tell you this. No. They may tell you this, but I can assure you these are principles that are drawn from the Bible. They are principles drawn from the Bible. And how old is this book? This book is written over a period of 1,600 years, and it was accomplished and put together about 2,000 years ago. So the Word of God gives us very good guidance on how to handle and to manage anger. Very important to know that, to understand that, right? So we are drawing this from a biblical way, from the biblical way. So now let's come to our first topic, right? The theological understanding. The righteous anger of the Lord Jesus. Now, this answers a question that is in many people's mind. Is anger sinful in itself? Because there are Bible verses that say, you must lay aside anger and wrath and malice, right? There are Bible verses that say that. I'll come across one of that, those verses later on. So if that's what the Bible tells us, does that mean that anger is inherently sinful? Well, not necessarily. And the reason is this. When God created us human beings, we were created with emotions, isn't it? We are created with emotions. So when something makes your heart glad, what do? You are joyful, right? You are cheerful, isn't it? When something makes your heart sad, you are actually sad, sorrowful, isn't it? These are emotions, right? These are natural emotions. And these emotions are important and healthy expressions and outlets. If you don't have emotion, actually, you have a problem in your head, right? And if you read many of these papers or reports, articles relating to people who are in deep depression, for instance, or in deep anxiety, they are unable to express emotion, right? These people may be in a very frightful state, but their faces, you look at them, blank. Or they may be in a situation where people around them are joyful, but they have no expression. It's a problem. So certain emotions, joy, sorrow, including anger, right, is inbuilt in God's creation. So let's look at some Bible verses, right, to teach us about that, right? So for instance, we look at the Lord Jesus. When the Pharisees, right, tried to stop him from healing on a Sabbath, right, this is what he said. Can you read from there, Brother Jerome? Read out loud for the whole class, please.
And we have looked around about for them with anger and grief for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
Amen. So in this verse from Mark chapter 3, Jesus was angry with the Pharisees because they tried to stop him from healing a man. And the word, you know, in Greek, of course, tells us that it's indignation, orge, right? And expression of anger. Expression of anger. So was the Lord Jesus angry at this point? Yes. He was angry because there were those who want to hinder the work of God. Right? He was angry. And then there's another verse, right? There are those who refuse the children. Sorry, there's a misspelling there. It's children, right? C-H-I-L. They're missing a H. When Jesus saw it, Mark chapter 10, verse 14, I read for you. When Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Because there were disciples who were trying to prevent the children from coming to Jesus. And they, the little children, were wanting to hear, right, also of the gospel of salvation. So Jesus was displeased. Now, I want to just bring forth this understanding, right? So, this emoticon, everybody knows it, right? The sense of being angry. The Bible describes these emotions as coming forth from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we must know and understand this, and do not take this, right, upon yourselves and say, look, the Lord Jesus is also angry, right? So, I can show anger. It is natural for me to show anger. And you want to show anger at every instance, right? And every situation wrong. No. This is the kind of anger that we know the Son of God displayed against those things that are contrary to God's will. Right? And there's a sense of anger in it. But it's also very important that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, being perfect and sinless, did not let this anger translate into something sinful, as other men do, as we sometimes do. When we're angry, we do angry things, right? We shouldn't do that. Those things are sinful. Sometimes when we're angry, we say angry things, and that's also wrong, right? Those are sinful. So the Lord Jesus is particular in the sense that He is perfect and He is sinless. Now, in the book of Revelation, it is also described that God expressed anger against sinners. So I request one of our brothers. How about Brian? Can you read out loud for the class? Revelation 10:14. Read 10:14-10. Read out loud for the class. Amen. So this is in the prophetic future. God shows wrath. And of course this word wrath, right, has this sense of what? Fierce breathing, you know, to most, meaning someone that's that kind of growing. The Greek word has that kind of a meaning that is conveyed. Anger. God is angry against sin. And what is the reason we believe and trust in Jesus for salvation? Because we know that by trusting in Jesus, we escape the wrath of God. So, from these three verses that I have just showed you, right, just this little while that I've showed you, these three verses, we understand and know this, that the Bible tells us that wrath or anger is an emotion that we know is associated, well, with Jesus in expressing displeasure against people who try to stop the will of God, people who try to hinder the will of God. We also know that wrath or anger, or thumos, another word for anger, is used to express God's anger against sinners. So if you do not know salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, know and understand this. In the prophetic future, God will come as judge. And therefore, we need to know Jesus as our Savior, right? Now, I want to put as a little note, it's a small note there. You may be able to read it or you may not, but I'll read it out for you. Right? Can you read it from there, Shinyi? The note from there, the phrase, wrath of God? No, can you see the words? That's what I'm asking. Can, okay, I'll read for you. Right? This reference, wrath of God, or similar, appears 14 times in the New Testament. The wrath of God, God's anger. And it's used usually against sinners, against Babylon, that is the end time kingdom, right, the end time kingdom that will persecute Christians, and evildoers, and also the unbelieving. So the idea of God being angry against sin, right, is something that is described in the Bible. So how do we refer to this? Theologically, we refer to this as righteous anger. Righteous anger. Now, can me or you as a man claim to have righteous anger? Can we or not? Hardly so, isn't it? Because we are creatures of the flesh. And very often when we show anger, right? Let's say you're angry with, as a man, you're angry with your wife. Or maybe as a lady, a sister, you're angry with your husband. And then you say something to annoy him. Is that righteous anger? No, hardly. Right? That is of the flesh. So we must be very, very careful and very watchful, right? So I want to pose this question, right? If the Bible records the anger of the Lord Jesus, can we do the same? Can we show that kind of anger? Every time somebody irritates or offends you? And the answer is, right, if it's a matter of personal offense, we should not. Right? And then we should not take that as a claim to righteous anger. However, sometimes, and you will encounter this in your life, you see something that is unjust, right? Or you see something that's unrighteous. There's a sense of anger, isn't it? Right? Maybe you walk down the street, right? You see a big man bullying a small boy. Of course, you're stirred up with anger. Maybe you want to stop him or you want to stop that bullying that's happening, right? Or you see, right, someone who is very rich and greedy and covetous taking advantage of the poor. How would you feel? You feel a sense of, right, anger, indignation, right? This is unjust, right? So that is the kind of feeling that is, right, the kind of anger towards something that is sinful and against the will of God. But that which is personal, that which is offending to ourselves, right, we do not take that upon ourselves and say, oh, this is righteous anger, right? Do not disguise that, right? So the answer is simply this, right? The Lord Jesus is the perfect and sinless Son of God. Whereas, what are we? We are of a fallen nature. Yes, we are the new man in the Lord Jesus. And later on, as I move on into this exhortation, we'll see that God actually enable us to overcome the kind of fleshly anger, right? So I want to move on to this. The potential of anger leading to sin. The origin of anger and wrath causing sin. Anger and wrath can cause sin, you know. So how does it do? Well, we have to introduce another entity, the devil. Satan, our adversary, can cause us, right, to fall into sin. Now in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, we read of this. Brother David, can you read for the class verses 4 to 6? Amen. Thank God for the reading of His word. Now you see that picture up there, right? And those of you who are familiar with Genesis chapter 4, you know what happened. The word wrath here, R-O-T-H, is the same word R-A-T-H. This is King James spelling, right? And what it means simply was, we know the result. Cain killed his brother. He was jealous of his brother because the offerings of his brother were accepted, right, by the Lord. And his was not. So verse 5 says, Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. I put it in bold and underlined it. Anger. Now what kind of anger is that? Can you say that's righteous anger? No. That's a fleshly kind of anger. And the Lord actually asked him, you know, why art thou wroth? Why? So this is the sense, and later on we'll come to one of these R's. Reflection. God is trying to prompt Cain, right? Reflect on what you're thinking. Why are you angry? Think about it. Actually, this is one of the solution and principles in anger management. Reflection. Thinking within yourself, why am I angry? What's making me angry? Is it righteous or is it not? If it's not, you better put it aside. If it is righteous, then you deal with it, right, accordingly, but in a fair and a godly way, right? So, Cain had mixed emotions, right? He had anger, he had envy, and also hatred against his brother Abel. So in the second part of Genesis chapter 4, we know the history. He met his brother in the field and he killed his brother. The first murder recorded in history in the Bible. Cain killed Abel. Now, I began by saying, right, first of all, there's the righteous anger that we see in the Lord Jesus. But then the second point I brought up was that there's a potential for anger leading to sin. Right? And I also brought forth this point that the perpetrator, the guilty party, or the one who's inciting that sin is none other than the devil himself. Now, how do we know that? Because the Bible explains it, right? The Bible explains it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. So I ask one of our brothers, how about Brother Sean, can you read for the class, please? Amen. Thank God for the reading of His word. Now, I underline that word, right? Cain, who was of that wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Our adversary, Satan. Satan incited him. So later on, when I come to one of the points and principle of anger management, take note of this, right? Be angry and sin not, neither give occasion to the devil. This is what it means. Cain did not restrain himself. He allowed his anger to be taken advantage of by the devil. So much so that the devil was able to stir up within his heart that hatred, and he killed his brother. That's the terrible sin. That is the terror that comes upon Christians who are not watchful. So we have something to learn of that. And the Bible points the finger. Of course, Cain was a murderer. He was a perpetrator. But Who was that evil entity behind him? The devil. Right? He was of that wicked one. He was of that wicked one, meaning what? He allowed that wicked one to work in him. And then we learn also, right, at one point, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in a reference to that murder, the first murder, John chapter 8, verse 44. I read for you. Right? John rebuked the Pharisees when they tried to resist him. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He was a murderer, the devil himself. Now, remember, right? The Bible puts this forth for us, and this is an example that we learn of this man called Cain. Is there a principle or a lesson we can learn from this man called Cain? And the answer is yes. It is in the Bible passage that we have read today. If sin has a potential, if anger has a potential to draw us into sin, what can we do about it? And what does the Bible teach us about it? Well, today we read this passage, isn't it? Right? And what the passage that we read is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. So may I request, Brother Luis, can you read out loud for the class, verse 26 and 27, please?
Ephesians 4, 26.
Amen. So you see, his name is being mentioned again, the devil. Now, verse 26 says, "Be angry and sin not." Right? Anger is something that comes to us. It's a part of us. We are created with emotions. We know that. Somebody said this to me when I was in Melbourne just 2 weeks ago. You know, it's okay to have emotions, but watch your reactions. Right, it's a very wise thing. Right, a young lady told me that it's okay to have emotions. We all have emotions, right? Joy, sadness, you know, sometimes anger, sometimes disappointment. Those are emotions, but watch your reaction. So, verse 26 points us towards it. Be angry, right? If anger comes within you, do not sin. And then the second part of verse 26: let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does it mean? Keep your anger until the evening, is it? Is that what it means? Contain your anger until the sunset. That means I have, right, let's say it's 10 o'clock in the morning, the sunset at 6 in the evening. You know, I have this many hours, right? I have 8 hours to be fully angry. It's my right, because the Bible says, let not the sun go down in your anger, right? So the rest of the day, I'm going to make the life miserable for the one who make me angry. Whoever he is, he might be the husband, he might be the wife, or maybe even your children. Is that right?
No.
That's not what it means, right? Let not the sun go down in anger means what? Resolve it quickly. Don't hold it within yourself. And the ultimate is, do not let it go over the next day. Right? It doesn't mean that you have a right to contain and brew in your anger. That's not what it means, right? Because I've heard people say that. You're angry, never mind. Continue being angry until the sunset. No, that's not what it means. Right? It means resolve it. Right? If you have done something wrong, well, say you're sorry. If someone has offended you, forgive this person. Right? And then verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give occasion to him. Because the longer this brew, the worse it becomes. That's what happened to Cain. Because God was actually pointing to him the solution. Cain, why art thou wroth? Right? Cain, why don't you think about what's making you angry, whether it's fair or righteous or not? He didn't. Instead, he took the sinful option. I must kill my brother. Right? So very, very sad for that. Like very, very sad. So we know and understand this. So I want to let not the sun go down doesn't mean to let it fester, right? Or to let it rot. Doesn't mean that, huh? It doesn't mean that if you're angry in the morning, you can keep it until evening. No. It means what? Do not let it grow on and let it brew. Right? And the idea, it means don't let it go past another day. Right? Resolve it there and then if you can. Right? Anger is of itself an emotion, but we must not allow the devil to tempt us. You know, in very polite societies, and some of you know, you're all very well traveled, right? I look around you, all of you travel all places of Asia, Europe, and all. In very polite societies, you find people say sorry and apologize very quickly. Isn't it true? Right? If two people are rushing towards the gate and then, you know, you just happen to bump, so sorry, please go ahead. They'll give way to you. That's polite society. Right? The ability to understand and give way to someone. Very important, you know. And this is how, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 comes to us, right? The phrase, do not let the sun go down on your anger, means what? Don't let it fester. Don't let it rot and eat you up inside, right? Deal with it and don't allow that to be an opportunity for the devil to use you, right? So what do we learn? Right? Unrighteous anger is of the devil, right? That's what the Bible says, even from the very beginning. Cain, when God tried to counsel him, why art thou wroth? He didn't take the right way. The right way would have been to sit and think, yeah, why am I angry? Actually, over nothing, you know. I'm just envious over my brother. He would have known that. But he didn't. And he took the sinful option. So, there's such a thing called righteous anger. And we know that this is the Lord Jesus an example. And is directed against sin or foolishness. So, however, anger in the flesh incites hatred and malicious intent. Malice. This is an example of Cain. Right? Example of now, Cain is brought up very often as an extreme example for us to know. Anger, if it's unchecked, leads to hatred. Hatred, if it's unchecked, eventually leads to murder. Right? So be very, very watchful against handling anger. Right? And then the third thing we want to know and understand is our adversary can take advantage of our fleshly anger and tempt us to sin. Now, it's hardly possible, right, that you will, you know, show violence to someone, right? We don't do that. We are in a very civil society. But then sometimes your words, right, can hurt someone. And we have to be watchful. So the devil can take advantage of our anger, right? So be careful. So this is the theological basis. I hope you have a understanding of the theological basis of anger, right? Anger is one of the emotions. It's part of us, right? But there is a difference between that which is righteous and that which is fleshly. And that which is fleshly, we must be very watchful because it can lead and have the potential to cause someone to fall into sin. Now, we come to this point, the third point. The Holy Spirit works in the Christian and restrains anger and wrath. Now, how do we know the Holy Spirit works? Well, the Bible tells us that we are new creatures. So in James chapter 1, 18, I ask Brother Jerome, please read for the class 18 to 20.
With all will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be on account of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Amen. So, we are new creatures, right? So, that's what verse 18 is about. We should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. How? By the word of truth. By hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and putting the trust in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells us and makes us new creatures. So we have that ability to restrain ourselves, to be slow to speak, slow to wrath. And this can only come about by what? Walking closely with God and by prayer. So if a Christian slacks and neglects prayer or neglects a close walk with God, it is very possible that this Christian can slip, right, and fall into the sin of anger, right, of unrighteous anger. And instead of being slow to speak, right, this person may be swift to speak, swift to anger. And that is no good. That is a very bad form of testimony, right? Very bad form of testimony. Now, there are other verses in the Bible that points us towards that kind of anger as being sin, right? So I read for you Colossians chapter 3, verse 8, right, all the way to 10. It says, But now ye put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, it's quite a mouthful. But what it means simply is this. As a Christian, you are a new man created in the image of God. And God renew you in the knowledge of Him and the image of Him. You have that knowledge, you possess that knowledge and the working of the Spirit within you. And by that, we are able to put off the old man. We are able to put off anger, we are able to put off wrath and violence. Is it difficult? Can be difficult. Does it take discipline and prayer and walking closely with God? Yes, it does. Do I struggle with it? Yes, I do. Would some of you struggle with it? Very possible. Very possibly. In fact, all of us do struggle with this. As long as you're in your flesh, this is what you are like. And we are not perfect. So we constantly pray and walk and try to put that. So Christ-likeness, and this is the point I put underneath, right? With the new man. The new man meaning the Christian whose faith and trust is in the Lord. Putting off anger, putting off wrath, putting off malice. So in summary, now we know theologically, right, anger, as described in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ, is righteous anger. And then there's also the fleshly anger, which we want to avoid. And it's very dangerous because it can lead you to sin. Example, Cain. Right? That's a theological basis. We know and understand that. Now we learn and understand that the Holy Spirit working in us can help us to restrain, help us to put off. Now the word put off here, in the Greek language, means to take off, right? It's like me taking off a coat. So you can actually put aside anger. It's possible. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it is possible. You are enabled by the Holy Spirit. And this has to be approached with prayer, much prayer, and a close walk with God. So let's look at it in summary, right? The Holy Spirit works in us to restrain fleshly anger. Right? Remember that. So when you want to manage anger, remember prayer is a big part of it. Praying that God's Holy Spirit will help us. So Galatians 5:16. Brian, can you read for the class? Amen. Allow the Spirit to take control. This is the meaning of walk in the Spirit. Right? Walk in the Spirit is a King James phrase from the King James Bible, which says what? Conduct yourself being guided by the Spirit. So in summary, and I put up to this point, right, the theological basis and the work of the Holy Spirit. As a new creation in Christ, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who is able to restrain our fleshly urges. And this is not just anger. Actually, the Holy Spirit works to restrain all our fleshly urges. Can be envy, can be covetousness, can be hatred against someone, can be jealousy. The Holy Spirit has the power to work in us, right, to restrain us. So now we know the theological basis, right? Let's come to the practical, right, aspect of it, right? So let's look at the practical principles to prevent provocation to anger. So now we know that there's a righteous anger, there's fleshly anger, which we want to avoid because it leads to sin. We know that the Holy Spirit helps to restrain that anger. Now, what can we learn? The four important anger management principles. Number one, restrain. Restrain yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit and prayer. Right, and this is from James 1:19. Right, slow to speak, slow to write. I'll just go through these first, and then we'll deal with them one at a time. Right. Secondly, resolve that issue of anger within yourself. Right. Do it swiftly to prevent sin. Ephesians 4:26. Let not the sun go down on your anger. Resolve it swiftly. Right, in order that you may move on, you may be able to carry on your spirit, your walk of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, respond. If you have to make a response, give a soft answer. Especially if you have provoked someone to anger, right? Make sure you give a soft answer. And if you are personally offended and full of anger, your face is red and your ears are spewing steam, keep quiet or give a soft answer. Right? This is a biblical instruction for us. Finally, reflection. Check your inner thoughts. Now, restrain, resolve, respond, reflection. You say, oh yeah, if I go outside for a counselor, you know, from, you know, any of these social services, they also tell me this. Yes, they will more than likely tell you this. But what they won't tell you is this. Actually, if you read the Bible, this is what the Bible teaches every Christian to do. Right? You want good counseling? Look in the Bible. The Bible gives you the best counseling and the wisest counseling because it is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So let's deal with it, right? restrain your actions. So James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. So I read for you, right? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, you see, very often when we tell children, right, and they're making a lot of noise and a lot of excitement, put a finger in your mouth, right? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow to allow that emotion to overcome you. Restrain. And you say, yes, you restrain. Yeah, how do I restrain it? Oh, you know, I exercise self-discipline. Yes. The flesh, if you work only with the flesh, sooner or later you're bound to fail. Pray. Ask God, help me, Lord. I know this person is always, whenever I have this interaction with this person, it makes me irritated. I just can't stand. Maybe this person may be a family member, maybe your own wife, or maybe your own husband. And speaking to him on one particular subject, for instance, how you wash the dishes, can be something that creates anger. It does, you know. Simple thing like washing dishes. Simple thing like stacking your food packages in the fridge. Right? Simple thing like making your bed after you wake up in the morning can become a flashpoint for conflict. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Restrain your response. And then pray for patience. Right? Pray for patience. The Bible enables us to pray, to look to God for help. So pray, God, give me patience. Right? Give me patience. And I know many times, you know, sometimes, you know, when you speak to your wife, maybe your wife will also tell you, you know, I'm keeping quiet so I don't make you angry. Right? And then the husband will say the same thing. Actually, I'm also keeping quiet so I won't make you angry. Right? But that's good. That's good, meaning you understand the idea of restrain, right? Restrain, right? Hold back, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The second thing we want to learn very quickly also is this: resolve swiftly the anger and the conflict. And this is where we read verse 26, right? Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the wrath, anger fester and, you know, bubble and brew. You know, the longer it brew, the longer it bubble. It's not like a soup or a stew, you know. The longer you brew, the more delicious it is. It's not. Anger is a terrible brew. And the longer it brew and the longer it stew, the more toxic it is. Resolve it quickly. Right? Read verse 32. Right? Brother David, can you read for the class verse 32, please? Amen. Thank God for the reading of His Word. Kind to one another, forgiving to one another. And I thank God for people around me who are kind and forgiving. Right? And I thank God for instances and testimonies. I see people who are forgiving to one another. But I also see instances where people are unforgiving, you know, and they call themselves Christians. And they can bear a grudge for years, decades. They can come to church and refuse to greet this person because I was angry with him. 20 years ago, he said something offending to me, right? And he kept that grudge for 20 years. I said, this poor man, why do you torture yourself for 20 years? Why don't you just forgive him? Your life will be so much the better, isn't it? Isn't it? Be angry, sin not. Be kind to one another, forgive to one another. So my prayer always is this, no, now, God, help me to be as kind and as forgiving as the Lord Jesus Christ. Very kind and forgiving. Even when he was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So should we not be the same? We should be the same, right? So do not let anger issues linger. That's my summary, right? And do not allow the devil to tempt you. Right? You let it fester. You let it put in your mind. So you resolve the anger quickly. If anger is from you, resolve it within yourself. Why am I angry? Is it right that I'm angry? Is it a small issue that I'm making a big mountain out of? If it is, let me forget it. If someone is making you angry, can I forgive this person quickly? I should, because that's what the Lord Jesus... So that's why verse 32 ends with, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Now, Christians should know that. If Christians cannot forgive someone, I have very serious doubt whether this Christian truly understands the salvation message of the gospel. Right? If you hold a grudge for 20, 30 years, I'm wondering in my mind, do you truly understand salvation in the Lord? Right? You should. And we should say, yes, right? You know, I forgive you, right? And move on, right? Okay, so we talk about restraint. We talk about resolving swiftly. Response. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Brother Kelvin, can you read for the class? Amen. So, how does a small little disagreement turn into a big fight, eventually turn into a war of nations? When nations do not speak to one another in soft language. Right? Because if you don't respond in a soft and polite manner, that opposite party is going to escalate the situation. That's why there's a war in Iran now. Right? Nobody wants to step down. Nobody wants to give way, right? Same in the home. Husband and wife. One person angry, the other person will be angrier. And the angrier person doesn't realize it, but his opposite party will be angrier. Right? Even more angry. It's just escalation. Right? But the right way, and the Bible tells us, give a soft answer. Give a polite answer. Give a gracious answer. Because if your answer is grievous, what will happen? You stir up more anger. Stir up more anger, right? So emotions are part of us. So this is the phrase I have heard from a very wise young lady. So emotions are part of us. We know, right? We are happy, we are sad, we are disappointed. Sometimes we are angry. But watch your reaction. How you react. Do not react with angry words, grievous words, right? So you see the little icon I put up, right? You have a choice, right, between, right, a happy and a resolved person, a person who's well contented with himself, or someone who's angry. Well, look at it clearly and carefully. That second example, the red face, who's that? That's Cain. Because God told him, right, why art thou wroth? If you think about it, actually, whatever you're angry about shouldn't be something that stir you up. He wouldn't listen, right? So how we respond to others show our spiritual maturity, right? So I've covered 3 R: restrain, very important. Resolve, quickly, do not let it linger. Respond, right? Respond softly, politely. And then finally, reflection. Check your inner thoughts. Check your inner thoughts. Very important to check your inner thoughts. So I request, how about Brother David? Can you read 23 and 32, both verses? Amen. So the Bible guides us on how a Christian should reflect upon our own heart. We should keep our heart with all diligence. In other words, the thoughts in your heart. Right? This thing is making me angry. Why? Am I like Cain? Am I envious of someone? If you are, you better stop. You know that's sinful. Right? This thing is irritating me. It's offensive to me. Is it because I'm impatient? Because impatience, right, is also one of the groundwork of a man or woman who is unforgiving and intolerant, right? So, think about it. Keep your heart. Let your heart be a soft and obedient heart that listens to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 32 says, right, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Right? Does anger in any way show or help the situation at all? Or does it make it worse? Right? Or does it show that it has better control and it has better resolution in this conflict that is happening? Reflect. Think about it. Think about what's in your heart. Think of what's coming out of you. And these are thoughts that are, you know, very helpful, and we want to just summarize it, right? 4 important anger management principles from the Bible, mind you. Right, remember, they are from the Bible. Restrain, slow to speak, slow to wrath, from James chapter 1. Resolve swiftly, right, Ephesians chapter 26. Respond with a soft answer, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15. And then reflect, check your inner thoughts. Right, and then that way, may God help us to know and to understand ourselves and guide us into better relationships, right, in your home, husbands and wives, parents, children, and also in our workplaces and in the church. Right, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. May thy word lead and guide thy people and help them, Lord, to live lives that are glorifying to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.